Do you like ice, Mr. Todd?
Ice? Thank you, Miss Watts. That'd be...
Mrs. Watts, Mr. Todd.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right. There. It gives me great pleasure to see a man drink whiskey, Mr. Todd. My late husband was partial to it.
Oh, well, lovely. Thank you, Mrs. Watts.
Do I look like a spinster?
No, not at all, no.
Well, you seem determined to make me one. I'm a widow. I have been one for 22 years.
Cheers. That's lovely whiskey.
Atlas whiskey. One of the first ever produced in Scotland. Not available in the general run of off licenses.
Well, I'm honored.
So. Oh, this is nice. So long since I've been able to offer my whiskey. I've had that bottle for nearly a quarter of a century. Poor Alfred was the last to drink from it. He died the next day.
Oh.
Shall we discuss the matter in hand?
In our series, Beyond Midnight, we present The Room, written and produced by Michael McCabe.
Yes, it has a sort of, well, strange, warm sort of glow. I've tasted many whiskies.
You're a man of taste.
I hope so, Mrs. Watts. I hope so.
Are you willing to spend a night in the other room, Mr. Todd?
Mrs. Watts, can I just get one or two things straight? It's haunted?
Well, so they say.
Who says?
People.
And nobody's ever stayed there before for a night?
Oh, yes.
Oh. Then...
They stayed there. Three stayed there. Do you remember the 6th Duke of Wallingford? Or was that before your time, Mr. Todd? You're only a young man.
The Duke of... Oh, yes. Yes, of course. There was a scandal, wasn't there? The family bribed some famous psychiatrist or something to signify that the Duke was perfectly sane. I remember... And he, the Duke, was as mad as a hatter all the time.
Quite as mad as a hatter. But he was the saner man as one could ever wish to meet, once upon a time. That was before he spent a night in the Yellow Room.
You mean he, the Duke...
The haunter and the haunted. Every man's history of ghosts and ghosting. Never beyond midnight. He wrote those books, Mr. Todd. The 6th Duke of Wallingford's passion was ghostly occurrences. He ate, drank, slept, and dreamt of the spirit world and life on other than earthly planes. He was a ghost hunter.
And he came here, to you?
He came, poor soul, to me, and stayed here in this house in the north wing in the Yellow Room. One night, 6.5 hours. And by morning light, he was mad. There were one or two others through the years. A certain Captain Blatchford of the 4th Hussars. He was found in the spinney, 90 feet below. He had leapt through the window. Help yourself to whiskey, Mr. Todd. There were others who stayed in the room but saw nothing, because, as I believe, they were not alone. It only happens, you see, to a person who is entirely alone.
What is it that happened?
Oh, my dear Mr. Todd, if I knew the answer to that question... I should not be offering £1,000 to any man who can provide me with an answer.
I see.
No one who has experienced the terror of the room has been exactly as they entered the night before when they've been discovered in the morning.
Mrs. Watts, I do not believe in spirits, disembodied souls, life after death. I don't believe in hauntings, the powers of darkness, or the presence of evil. Except... A certain something we call evil that inhabits the minds of certain men. I'm unimpressed by the trappings of modern psychological research. I have no superstition in me, and I'm also an atheist. I wasn't always. I was brought up a Christian. 20 years, more or less, of adult life have stolen my faith away. Today, I'm a completely uncommitted man, I'm afraid.
You're afraid?
A figure of speech. I'm not afraid. I will spend a night in the Yellow Room. £1,000, I'd spend a night anywhere.
I see.
One thing, though, if nothing happens, I'll have nothing to tell you, will I?
In that case, you will receive £100 just for your trouble. Not an unreasonable fee for 8 hours' sleep, Mr. Tarpin.
No, but...
But I warn you, if nothing happens, don't invent. I shall know. And you will receive not a penny if you try to cheat me.
I'm an honorable man, I think.
Good. Well, having said
that... I wonder if you'd mind just telling me why you're so curious, Mrs. Watts. Why do you want to find...
I'm an old woman. I've lived a long and very wonderful life. Chancellor has been in my family for over 300 years. Soon I shall die. I wish to die without one regret. If I should be taken tomorrow, the good God forbid, I would go to my grave a disappointed woman. I would not know what malevolence is present in the Yellow Room in Chancellor's North Wing. Oh, there's going to be a storm.
Why haven't you gone to the room? Spent a night there yourself, then?
I did not ask you to come here so that you could question me. You've come to earn, if you can, £1,000. For that, you have a job to do. After that job, I shall question you. That is all. Would Sunday suit you?
Yes, Sunday will suit me handsomely, thank you.
Oh, one thing I forgot to mention. I shall lock the door to the Yellow Room once you're inside and settled. It won't be opened again until 8 o'clock on Monday morning. That is a condition. It won't be opened, no matter what might happen.
All right. You're the one paying the money.
The North Wing with their wires and switches. Oh, how often do I curse electricity. The days of candle and lamplight were so gracious. For a night at least, you and Essence return to those far-off days, Mr. Todd.
Well, it's not the fault of electricity that they've gone, you know. There have been more changes than the mere invention of electricity.
Father Doyle, don't skulk in the doorway and don't look so disapproving.
I'm not skulking. I'm still hoping to persuade Mr. Todd to change his mind. It's an unholy experiment you're indulging yourselves in.
Begin all that again, Father. He's free. He's over 21, isn't he? What on earth is there to harm him in here?
Nothing on earth. Mr. Todd, I've come tonight as an old friend of this lady, a friend of her husband. She asked me to be present. I don't know why. Unless she wanted the church's sanction for what she plans to do.
I don't plan to do anything. Stop being an old maid, Father.
What neither of you seem to appreciate is the existence of evil.
Oh, Papa,
I've seen evil.
Of course I know.
I know how it works. Oh, yes. Even in the 20th century. The devil's abroad at all times. Now, don't smile, Mr. Todd. I ask both of you, because I know the history of this place, to put a seal upon the door. To lock and bar this room.
Father, you seem to forget. Mrs. Watts and I have an agreement. A wager, if you like, for this one night. I don't know quite why you're here. I don't object to you, but I'd rather you didn't persuade Mrs. Watts to put seals on the door just yet. Tomorrow, all right, but there's a small question of £1,000 in cash first, and then you can do what the blazes you like. Well, shall we get on with it, Mrs. Watts? It's 10 o'clock, and I promised myself a few chapters of Evelyn Waugh's Bride's Head Revisited before a comfortable night's sleep in what seems to be a splendid antique bed.
And the sheets are aired and the pillows are soft as snow.
At least you won't even have the comfort of a window to jump from.
We had it barred, Mr. Todd. And anyway, it's far too high to reach.
Well, that's all right, Mrs. Watts. I haven't come down here to look at the view, have I? Now, lady and gentleman, if you don't mind, this is my room for tonight. And according to Mrs. Watts here, the ghost does not walk unless the watcher is on his Todd.
The room is high-beamed, the paper yellow in color, for this is the yellow room, is ancient. The design upon it is of some long-forgotten crest of some long-dead family. The shadows are deep. The light comes from 7 candles set about the room, one close by the great brass and oak bed, another on the mantel, above the head of the man who sits reading a novel, a very fine novel by Evelyn Waugh. Behind the reading man's head is another candle, and near his right elbow on the top shelf of a teak bookcase are 2 more candles. The 2 remaining thin, brave lights in the darkness of the yellow room are on either side of the door. Absolute silence reigns. The silence of a tomb or of a great desert when daylight appears to have deserted the world forever. Silence. The kind of silence that seems to hammer iron pegs into the mind. Silence. And then the man turns a page and yawns.
Bye-bye is time, I think.
He smiles a smile of satisfaction, in a moment spending the £1,000 on a multitude of wondrous things, and then, quite calmly, without any announcement, without any movement in the room, the candle directly behind Ronald Todd's head goes out.
Thank you.
Are you quite sure you aren't hungry?
Hey, thank you. Anyway, I'd never sleep after just one mouthful of cheese.
Well, for heaven's sake, Father Doyle, there's a kitchen full of food out there.
I don't wish for one single bite to eat. All right? Fine, then. I think our friend upstairs should be told to go home now. After what he knows of the place, and believe it or not, he's no coward, and, well, he's been up there 2 hours already.
He's not completed his bargain yet, Father.
If he's going to be afraid, he'll have been afraid by this hour.
Father, I am not paying Mr. Todd for being afraid or not being afraid. I'm paying him to sleep in the yellow room and find out what it is that's caused the death of 4 people and turned 3 more insane during the last...
4? Deaths of...
Oh, you knew perfectly well.
I knew nothing of the kind. The fellow who threw himself out of the window...
What does it matter, Father Doyle, how many people have died in this house? They're all free citizens over 21 years of age. Father Doyle, where are you going?
I think I'll go and see how Mr. Todd's faring.
You do nothing of the kind. Come away from that door, Father.
I don't know what it is you're doing, but I warn you. If something bad happens tonight, and there's any kind of inquiry, I shall be bound to say what I know,
and to tell the authorities that knowing full well there's danger in the north wing of this house, you allowed a stranger to spend a night there.
I am allowed to do whatever I choose in my own house.
Only if it doesn't harm another person.
In this house, I have all the freedom I wish, and I...
You're not exercising freedom. It's license. Bribing that man with money.
Oh, for pity's sake, there's nothing there to harm him. It was all in the imagination with every one of those people who stayed in the Yellow Room. All imagination.
Then if it's all imagination, what can Mr. Todd tell you then?
What he imagines. I wonder what he's doing now. Do atheists sleep well? I suppose they must. No consciences. At least no religious consciences. I suppose Mr. Todd's fast asleep.
Over there, too.
That candle was the one by the bed.
I don't need it anyway. It doesn't feel drafty, I must admit.
And then the candle on the right of the door went out. And Ronald Todd's expression of slight surprise, tinged with amusement, suddenly vanished. To be replaced with a frown of discomfort, because...
Queer?
Very... As he reached the door to light the candle again, the little light on the left side of the doorway went out. Now there were only four candles burning out of the original seven.
Mm-hmm. Huh?
The Yellow Room in the glow of only four candles is a different kettle of fish altogether. Never a pleasant room, even in daylight. At night it is malevolent. Todd crosses now. To relight the candle by the great bed. He does so, just as one of those he has made glow again by the door goes out.
For pity's sake, drafts all over the very shop. What's wrong with this room?
Just as he's coming to light the right-hand door candle again, the two candles on the teak bookshelf go out simultaneously.
Well, best thing I can do is forget the whole business and go to bed.
The candle upon the mantel goes out, followed by the one on the bed, followed by the one on the right-hand side of the door, followed by the one... He's puzzled, yes, but not at all frightened. Intrigued, if anything, for a moment all seven candles glow again. And he stops laughing as one, two, three... Four, the candles around the reading chair, the mantel, go out one after another. He begins relighting them, and both candles by the door go out, and then the one by the bed. For a moment, the room is lighted by only two candles. And then three. And then four. And then the first of the relighted ones goes out.
Huh?
And Ronald Todd realizes for the first time that there is more to this than meets the eye.
That ruddy thing went out because something wet touched it. I heard it.
Suddenly, it's completely dark. All seven candles are out.
Oh.
Suddenly, Ronald Todd doesn't like the dark. It can't be called fear, for he's not afraid of anything. But where are the matches?
Where are the blasted matches? Spill them. One lighted, that'll do. Well, if that goes out, I'll just light it again. Drafty old room.
and he gathers the remaining matches together. There are only 11 left.
Oh, beautiful, really. Candle alone in the room, it's like... little nightlight. Mom used to leave in my room when I was a kid. Because I was afraid. Oops. Jesus bids us shine with the pure, clear light like a burning. I wonder what Mom would have made of all this. All right. I'll play your game. There's somebody here, isn't there? Somehow someone's making these candles go out, aren't they? Well, all right. Let's leave it dark for a while.
Deep, pitch, black, silent, strangely lonely. And then the silence and the darkness gets on Todd's nerves and he fumbles and lights a match. At least...
Oh.
He tries to light... Ah, must be a dead match, a spent match. Try another one.
Oh, Lord, try another one. All the old ones. And I fiddle around on the floor for... Ah, what the... Jesus bids us shine with the pure, clear light. Like a burning candle shining in the night. In this world of darkness, so we may shine. You... Yes. Bed.
Lost in bed. Oh, no. Wait a minute. I must be right away. Wait a minute.
You'd be like this, I suppose, in the desert at night. Or anywhere come to that in complete blackness. And now for Ronald Todd, the nightmare begins. It's pitch black. He can't find the bed. He decides to return to his chair. The chair's gone.
It's the blasted chair. Wait. All right, Mrs. Watts, you've won. This is silly. You built a trick room, a maze, mirrors or something. Come on, you. Ronnie, lad. Now, with an ex-Boy Scout and that, let's just get our bearings.
And in the blackness, like a blind man, he walks. Ah, there's. It is all right now. Someone has taken his hand.
Who's that? Who's this? Who are you? What? Who's this? Let go of my hand. Come on. Go. Who are you? I can't see. Let go of my hand. Who are you? Like a little candle, brave little light. Like a little candle burning in the night. In the world of darkness, I must shine like a little candle. You and my...
You're a nosy old devil. Saving your reverence, of course. You always were a nosy old devil. You just cloak your nosiness in a vacation to save souls. Oh, I wondered who it was at the door 7:30 in the morning. Oh, those stairs.
All right. Shall you open the door now, Mrs. Watts?
All right, Father Gerald.
Morning, Mr. Todd. Sleep well? Like some tea?
Let me have those, woman.
Well, I mean, he might be standing there and is all together.
You in your small corner and I in mine. All right, Mum. Name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee.
Mr. Todd.
Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit. But I was saying it right. Stop it. Leave me alone. Let go of me. Stop it. I hate saying my prayers. I hate saying it. I hate it. Stop it. Stop it.
Dear Father in
Mr. Ronald Todd was committed to a home for the hopelessly insane. Father Gerald Doyle visits him twice a week. The priest carries with him a feeling of guilt he can never be rid of. Mrs. Watts died last year without ever discovering the secret of the Yellow Room. What really took place that night, I have only been able to suggest. What remains is that Ronald Todd is mad and is likely to remain so. He's forever beyond midnight.